Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And good evening to all of our online viewers. Before I begin, I just would like to acknowledge that our 42nd episode of this ongoing study of the Haggadah has been dedicated by Victor and Debbie Janowski to commemorate the yard site of a very special Yid. His name was Benny Karakowski. Benny was Daivber ben Elia Aryeh and Italea. He was a very beloved member of the Thornhill community, in the Bayit community. And his yard site, I think, is Erev Pesach. And he very much wanted to serve Hashem. He tried to serve Hashem right. And that's what today's class is going to be about, breaking bread. So I want to give you a little preface before I start. I'm driving somewhere one day. I don't remember where I was driving, but I do remember I was in the car. And my phone rings. And I answer the phone, and it's Rabbi Shachat. And he says to me, "Mini, where are you?" I'm like, "Rabbi Shachat, what's the difference where I am? I'm driving." "You're on the phone?" I said, "I'm speaking to you." He says, "You're in the car?" I said, "Yeah." "Put on the radio 640 right now." It's very strange. Rabbi Shachat doesn't put on the radio. So I start fiddling with the thing. I'm like, "Rabbi Shachat, why do you want me to put on the radio?" He says, "I just got a call from somebody. There's a faith leader from a different faith system who is mocking the Jewish people, and it's a call-in show, and I want you to call and defend us. I know you're going to do a good job." So by the time I figured out which station, it wasn't 640, it was 620. By the time I figured out the station and called in, it wasn't happening anymore. So when I came the next day to Rabbi Shachat's house to live with him, I said, "Rabbi Shachat, what was on the radio?" So he told me that somebody had called him and told him to turn on the radio. And the story was this. The story was that there was this, I don't know if he was a guest or he actually had his own show, and he was a faith leader. And he was talking about how his faith focuses on love. It's all about love, and it's about affection, and it's about unity and closeness. And he said, that's meaningful, spirituality. He said, "The Jewish people, it's like a ridiculous faith system." He says, "Ridiculous faith." He says, "I got this book called Shmirat Shabbat Kehil Chata," he says. It's the keeping Shabbat properly. And he says, "I'm going to read to you some of these laws. It's ridiculous," he says. And he opens the book and he starts reading that if somebody is sitting in his backyard and he's eating watermelon, that he shouldn't spit the seeds onto the ground. Yeah, but that's a halacha of Hilchas Shabbos because he's not allowed to plant on Shabbos. And he says, "What does God care if somebody spits seeds on the ground? I would much prefer to focus on things like love and brotherhood and camaraderie and sensitivity and compassion than spitting watermelon seeds on the ground." that was the case that he made. So Rabbi Shachat caught the tail end of it, and he called me, wanted me to call the station. Whatever. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to get there on time, and by the time I called in, there was already the show was over. But of course, on the surface, the guy sounds right. He sounds like, it sounds ridiculous. What's the difference if you spit watermelon seeds? But the truth is, if you think about it, what difference does it make to God if you smile at somebody or you mean to somebody? What difference? If I would tell you, "You see that little cockroach there? No, that little one, the brown one? No, the black one. Oh, the black cockroach. Okay, not the green one. No, the black one. The green one, he bothered the black one, but the black cockroach smiled at him anyway." He said, "You know, it's like, wow, I'm really happy about that. Like, I feel really good that one cockroach smiled at the other." My dear friends, we are, in comparison to God, a lot smaller than a cockroach is in comparison to us, and a lot more puny and a lot less significant. I mean, inherently. But it's not so because Hashem makes it not so. Because God decided that each and every single one of us is special. Because God decided that each and every single one of us is beloved to Him. And God wants to have a relationship with us. And I can't explain that because I don't understand it. If I was God, I wouldn't want to have a relationship with me. But then again, I'm not God, right? So God craves a relationship with us. And Hashem, Almighty God, gives us the way. He says, "Here's how you can have a relationship with me. I'm going to give you instructions. I'm going to tell you to do a whole variety of different things. And if you do what I tell you to do, then that subservience and that obedience and that commitment is meaningful to me. And it also brings about a spiritual flowering, and it changes the whole world. But that's the essence of a mitzvah." Now, I'm talking about a very big subject. I'm just conflating it into a few short little words. But I am trying to make a point. The point that I want to make to you is that everything we do as Torah Jews, and I mean everything, everything we do has lots of meaning and lots of profundity and lots of depth. And the Seder night is a marvelous example of this, because at the Seder night we have an order. Seder means order, and there's a whole order of things to do. There are copies right here. So there are order, and every one of these things is important. And then there's questions about how we do some of these things. And there are schools of thought, and there are different jurisprudence, and the halacha comes to us in a particular way, and how we come to the conclusion of what the halacha is and what we should do, all of this is meaningful. And when we sit down together and we study about this, and we open our minds to try and understand the tiny minutia, the tiniest details of Hashem's Torah and mitzvahs, it connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what are we looking for? We're looking to be as connected as possible. And the more we do things in the exact, precise fashion that Hashem wants, the more connected we are. And that's what this is about. Somebody in Shul recently sent me something he read in an article about something we do at the Seder, whether it should be done in one posture or the other. And he said to me, it's so logical, it says A, B, and C. I'm like, yeah, but it's not what we do. Well, why not? It sounds so logical. So I hadn't like seen it yesterday, but I remembered, and I took a few minutes to do the research. I said, well, there's like a whole encyclopedia of information about this, and the Rebbe speaks about it, and the Rebbe rules conclusively that this is not what we do. And the person said something very interesting to me. The person said to me, you know, I've been doing this part of the Seder since I'm a child. He's already a grown-up, right? Since I'm a child. And he says, I never realized how much thought, how much care went into every single one of those details. Nothing is just by happenstance. For lack of a better metaphor, just give you like a lame metaphor. If a spouse is celebrating a special day, I don't know, a milestone, and he or she becomes aware that the spouse spent time choosing the Hallmark card, just looking at, and they chose this card for this reason, it's like, wow, that's so special. I didn't know that, really. Yeah, I spent like 3 hours, and I ordered the card, and I drove across town because I thought that card would be more meaningful. It would touch you. It's special. That's special. So this is, Rabbi say, what it's like when we do a mitzvah right, and we study about the mitzvah. This is how we are able to foster and nurture our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this is about. That's what this is about. So tonight, we are continuing to focus on the matzah. Or to be more accurate, actually, on motzi matzah. Now, there are 15 steps in the Seder. And in the 15 steps, motzi and matzah are actually disparate. In most versions, including the Alter Rebbe's version, which gives us some total of 15. And yes, the number 15 is meaningful. A yud and a hey spells the name of Hashem. And there's a variety of other reasons why we want it to be 15 steps in the Seder. But interestingly, in the Rebbe's commentary in the Haggadah, he comments on motzi and matzah together because, as you'll see, I don't know if we'll get to it in this class. This is going to be breaking bread. It's probably going to end up being breaking bread one. And there'll be breaking bread two and maybe breaking bread three. And then breaking news a little bit after that. But the breaking bread one, we're going to see how ultimately we are trying to conflate the motzi and the matzah. We want them to overlap because there's an issue. Yeah, we'll start to touch on it already today. And I'm just theorizing, maybe this is why the Rebbe put motzi and matzah together in his commentary rather than commenting on them separately, because the commentary incorporates both motzi and matzah, as you'll see. So in the copies I made you, if you're able to follow along in the Hebrew, that's great. It's in the second column. And the words in italics are haprusa bein shtei hashleimot. Haprusa bein shtei hashleimot, and then there's commentary on that. And I don't know if we're going to get past that, the first little paragraph here. Okay, now in the English translation that Rabbi Emanuel Shochat did, I didn't see how he translated. He didn't translate this section. Because it's really just like sources. There's no way to translate it in a meaningful way. So I don't have it for you in English, and I apologize. But I'm going to share the sources, and that's I think what's really important. So the instruction. Let's look at the instruction. The instruction of matzah, of the motzi matzah, is that we should Again, here the instructions are divided. Alter Rebbe Nesida divides the instructions between motzi and matzah. But in the instruction of motzi, which you don't have in your copies, it says, and I'm going to read to you slowly. Listen carefully. Please, I'll translate. V'yikach ha-matzot. You washed your hands. Right? You did the washing. You're ready now to break the bread. This is what we do. Before you break the bread, there's blessings. V'yikach ha-matzot. He takes the matzot. How many matzot are we talking about? We're talking about three. Because he says, V'yikach ha-matzot kiseder shehinicham, in the way they were placed. How were the matzot placed on our Seder plate? How many matzot are sitting on our Seder plate? Three, correct. And he says, haprusa, the broken matzah, bein shtei hashlemot, between the two whole matzot. So the matzot are like these round wafers, right? We have a broken piece between the two whole pieces, and then we're going to hold them in our hands and we make the bracha of hamotzi lecha min haaretz. So the Rebbe focuses on haprusa, the broken piece, bein shtei hashlemot. And the Rebbe begins his commentary, and I'm going to zero in on the precision of the commentary because it's important. The Rebbe says, firstly, why are we doing this? Why are we raising up three matzot? And let me step back for a moment and explain something we will elaborate on later on more. When you recite a bracha over something with the intention to eat it, you're supposed to hold it in your hand, as we're going to learn in the next section. How many matzot are going to be eaten now? So we're going to be eating, ultimately, as we will see, part of the top matzah and part of the middle matzah. I mean, all of the middle matzah. The piece of matzah, the middle matzah, the piece, which is the smaller piece, because the larger piece got put away for the afikoman, and we're going to be eating a half of the top matzah. So if that's the case, if right now we're going to be eating half of the top matzah and the half, or slightly less than the half, of the middle matzah, why are we holding all of the matzot?
Because it's becoming like almost two.
It's becoming like...
You need two whole ones.
So this is the first thing that Rebbe says. But you'll see that's not at all simple at all, and that's what we're going to be delving into today. There are two schools of thought about the Lechem Mishnah, about the concept of two loaves of bread when we break bread on a Yom Tov. And we're going to see how and why the ruling is a certain way. The Rebbe doesn't rule on this, but the Rebbe is giving us an insight into how the ruling works. And you're going to get an inkling into how halacha, the mechanism of halacha, how halacha comes to a resolution here. So the first thing the Rebbe says is, ki, because, kimo bechol yom tov, like every yom tov, chayiv livtzoa al lechem mishnah. On every yom tov, we have to recite a bracha over two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread. An interesting little story. When the Rebbe had that devastating heart attack that Bederach HaTeva should not have recovered from, and Baruch Hashem, miraculously, the Rebbe did and went on to live 18 incredibly vibrant years, terrestrial years, Bederach HaTeva, were unbelievable. So the Rebbe made a Sudas Hedah, as one has to, thanking Hashem when it experienced a miraculous recovery. And the Sudas Hedah was on the last day of Hanukkah. And there's a long story attached to this. One of my great uncles is an extremely energetic and unique person, and he had a special relationship with the Rebbe. The Rebbe calls him in and he says, I don't want anybody to know about this, but I want to make a Sudas Hedah tonight. And I'm telling you, because I don't want anybody else to know. I don't want people to come. I don't want people drawing attention to myself. And the Rebbe said, I want you to buy challah, because a Sudah Todah, a Su'udah should have challah. You should wash for Hamotzi. So I think it happened then that whoever set up the Fabrengen place for the Rebbe, they placed two challahs. And the Rebbe immediately said, they should take away one of the challahs. Why? Because somebody comes on Hanukkah and he says, I saw the Rebbe had two challahs. All of a sudden, a new custom came. You have to have two challahs. The Rebbe was very sensitive to that. What will somebody look? And he'll do something which is not proper according to halacha. Take away the second challah. During the weekday, we make a bracha on one whole bread, if possible. Before sliced bread was introduced. One whole bread, if possible. And on Shabbat and Yom Tov, every Yom Tov, we have to make a bracha on not one, but rather two breads. Where's the source of that? Shulchan Aruch, Ohr HaChaim, the Code of Jewish Law. And this is the ruling that's brought in the Code of Jewish Law in Simen Tov Kuf Chav Tes, in chapter 529. Okay, so let's take a look in chapter 529 and see what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. First of all, it opens up, this is the Dinei Simcha, Simchat Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov. So there's obligations. It's a holiday, it's a festive time. We have an obligation to be joyous. So how do you do that? Joyous is a very big word. It has to be translated, it has to be defined. So the Shulchan Aruch says, first of all, Yom Tov's mitzvah is that you shouldn't just spend the whole day eating. You're supposed to spend half a day in shul. Yom Tov is going back going to shul. He says, mitzvah's Yom Tov l'chalkei. You should divide Yom Tov. It should be chetzi of the Beis HaMedrash, the chetzi of l'achila l'shtia. Half is spent davening and learning, meaning spiritual day being close to Hashem, and half is spent having the meals, celebratory meals of Yom Tov. Years ago, I had like a rude awakening. It was a Rosh Hashanah afternoon, and I was walking to sound the shofar for somebody who was ill and couldn't come to shul, and I bumped into a few people walking in the street. I said, Chag Sameach, Shana Tova, and they answered me, so I knew they were Jewish. So I said, did you hear the shofar today? So, this is years ago. Not like today would be, what's that? What's the shofar? So they said to me, no. I said, wow, you didn't hear the shofar? Would you like to hear the shofar? Yeah, I said, well, I guess so. Where should we go? I said, we'll do right here. So they made a bracha, and I sounded the shofar for them in the street. And I said to them, so, like, where do you go for Rosh Hashanah? What do you think I meant? Where do you go for Rosh Hashanah? I was shul. You're like, which shul didn't you blow the shofar in, right? Or which shul did you come so late to? The guy goes, I went to my sister. We went to my sister. He says, I'm like, your sister has a shul? He says, shul? No, we went for dinner. Like, I said, where'd you go for Yom Tov? Went for dinner. So this is a big mistake. This is not the Torah way of celebrating a holiday. Torah celebrating a holiday, even Pesach, which is more family-centric, and the Seder is the main event, rather than being in the Beit HaKnesset to hear the sounding of the shofar. Nonetheless, the simcha of Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov, is to be in a Beit HaKnesset, to come together and to be in shul and to hear words of Torah and words that are uplifting. And certainly it always used to be the case that even people who, for whatever reason, didn't manage to come to shul on a regular Shabbat, Yom Tov, people came to shul. Yom Tov, everybody comes to shul. That's the first halacha. And the Mechaber, the Beit Yosef says, Tzorech lechabdo ula'ango kamo b'Shabbat. You have to honor it and you have to give it the same kind of pleasure. You have to delight in it, just like on Shabbat. And then the Ramah gives us a number of interesting additions in his glosses of other things that we're supposed to do. And then he says, and I'm quoting, V'chayiv livtzoa al shtei kikarot. One is obligated to make a bracha on two loaves. Two loaves. U'lekvoa ha'seuda al ha'yoyin. And he should make the meal. The meal should be based on wine. It's very interesting that he mentions the two loaves even before he talks about making kiddush, before he talks about the wine. So in all likelihood, we're emphasizing that even the seuda during the day, not just at night, when it's a biblical mitzvah l'kaddish, but even during the day, the seuda has to have kiddush. But there's supposed to be bread. That's how it is. It's supposed to be bread, and you have to have kiddush. That's a seuda of Yom Tov has to be a seuda with his bread. So you see it clear over here. There has to be lechem mishnah. It's clear. It has to be lechem mishnah. Very interestingly, the Rebbe, usually, if he can, will quote from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch incorporates all of the other things that were written up until this time. But the Rebbe doesn't quote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and I found it very curious, so I decided to do some research. Why wouldn't he quote the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch? And guess what I found out? Because the Alter Rebbe doesn't mention it in Shulchan Aruch, which is quite shocking. Quite shocking. And it'll be even more shocking because he references it, even though he doesn't mention it explicitly. In Simen Tov Kuf Chof Tes, in what the world calls the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, he starts off like this. Kishem she-mitzvah l'chabedet ha-shabbos u-la-anga kach kol yomim tovim. In the same way it's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbat, so too it's a mitzvah for us to delight and honor the Yom Tov. And then he goes on to explain what is kavod. And he introduces the ideas which are not even mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, which are talked about in other Paschim. And this is the concept, he says, before Yom Tov, a person is supposed to bathe, and a person is supposed to take a haircut, and a person is supposed to cut their nails, or get your manicures, or whatever else it is. And it's a mitzvah, he says, he's quoting the Ramah. This is the Ramah saying these various things. Even to knead the dough. And until COVID came along, and my wife started making sourdough, I never understood what this means. Because what's a big deal to knead? But if you make sourdough, you have to knead the dough. It's a whole process, you can bake it. You bake the challah on Yom Tov, there's no problem with that. But you knead the dough already, the day before, so all the work is done. You're just ready to pop it into the oven. And then he says, also quoting the Rambam, we're not supposed to have a meal on Erev Yom Tov. You're supposed to arrive at Yom Tov hungry. And then in Siv Gimel he says, so Ezehu Oineg, what is the delight? The delight is Shechayev Adam Lechol B'chol Yom Tov Beis Sudot. Every Yom Tov you're obligated to eat two Sudot. There's no Sudash Lishit unless it's Shabbat. And then he says in Siv Dalet, V'ikar HaSu'udo Hu HaLechem Asher Hu Eichel. The main meal is the bread. The main meal is the bread. And therefore he says, Tzarech Li Zohar, you have to be very careful that you wash for pat and eat more than a kebeah, more than a certain amount. And that's otherwise because till kebeah, it's called achilas arai, and it's not a suuda. And then he never mentions Lecha Mishnah. He doesn't, and he says you have to establish be koveya the suuda on yoyin, on wine. Very unusual. Alter Rebbe doesn't mention it. Even more unusual, and I don't have the answer to this. I'm sure there are answers, but I didn't have a chance to find the answer. Is that the Alter Rebbe himself in Hilchas Pesach, first in Simen Tofayin Gimel in Psalm, and in chapter 473, Yevei Rechayim says, Af shebi Yom Tov tzorach livtzoa alechem mishnah. Even though on Yom Tov you have to have two breads, mikol makom, nonetheless, you don't have to give out two matzahs to everybody. They'll hear the Lecha Mishnah of the leader of the Seder. That's in Tafayin Gimel in chapter 473, he was talking about the Seder and the leading of the Seder. And in Tafayin Hey, in chapter 475, in Siv Gimel, he says, Afal Pisha b'chol yom tov chayav adam livtzoa Lecha Mishnah. A person has to have Lecha Mishnah. Kemo sheyid ba'er b'simin tof kuf chav tes. As is explained in chapter 529, but he doesn't mention it in chapter 529. So I don't know the answer. It's very unusual. But at any rate, you see that the Rebbe does not cite the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. He cites the original ruling, which is ruling of the regular Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch of the Bet Yosef, of the Mechaber, and he says you have to have Lecha Mishnah. Okay. So presumably now, if you have to have Lecha Mishnah, but we still have three matzahs. And here, the Rebbe introduces us to an incredible dispute amongst the Rishonim. It's, why is this night different than all others? Or how is this night different than all others? And it goes to the Drasha Srazal. So let me take you now first to the Gemara. We're going to go to a Gemara that we actually have kind of studied in some of our Shurim. At least we studied a little later, but in previous years we studied this Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes Vav. Page 115, side B, at the very end. The Gemara is talking about matzah. And the Gemara notes that the matzah is referred to in the Torah as lechem oni, bread which is oni, with an ayin. So the question is, what is that? Interestingly, it's pronounced oni, it's pronounced as if there was a vav, but there is no vav. In the way the Torah is written, it's ayin nun yud, which sounds like ani, meaning a poor person. So first the Gemara says, onin alav dvarim harbe, and we talked about this in biblical literature. When it says ona, it doesn't mean to respond or answer, it means to raise your voice. You speak a lot about it. We raise our voices over it. And then the Gemara says, however, dover acher, oni, it's lechem oni, the bread of elaboration, the bread of declaration, the bread of raising one's voice and saying something, the Haggadah, but aniksiv. In the Torah, it's written ayin non yud. Everybody knows an ani is a person, a poor person. So what's the pshat? What is the Torah trying to tell us? And the Gemara answers, ma ani shadarko beprusa, just like a poor person, he doesn't get a hole. What does he get?
A piece.
He's happy with a piece. He's poor. He's impoverished. He's desperate. Afkan beprusa. So too, you have to have a jagged piece of matzah, not a fancy big matzah. Now Rashi immediately comments and he says the following, and I'm going to read the Rashi to you and translate. I'll read it to you slowly. Afkan beprusa. Afkan means here too on Pesach night. Beprusa with a piece, with a broken piece. Says Rashi, levarech al achilat matzah. To make the bracha of eating matzah. But before we make a bracha of eating matzah, we have to make another bracha first. What's that? Hamotzi. 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 And we already learned about this earlier. The Rebbe says Nagada. Why? Because Tadir Visheinu Tadir. Tadir Kodim. If you have a bracha you make all the time, we make Hamotzi whenever we eat bread or matzah. And now we're eating special matzah, special bread. That's not usual. So we make the regular bracha first, Hamotzi. And only afterwards we make the unusual bracha, which is Hamotzi. So Rashi says, the bracha of Hamotzi you'll make over the broken piece. However, shtei shleimot, two whole matzot, in addition to the broken one, maisi he brings, mishum birchas hamotzi, because of the blessing of hamotzi. Why do you have to have two whole matzos for the blessing of hamotzi? Says Rashi, what do you mean? Legara misha'or yamim tovim. It's not any different than any other yom tov. What the difference is, what kind of bread you have, what shape of bread. It's not different if a Rosh Hashanah you have a round challah, and if on Shavuot you have a braided challah. That does make a difference. Or on Pesach you have a matzah. Shetzarech livtzoa al shtei kikarot shleimot. You have to make a bracha on two whole pieces. And ubotzea, you break. You're breaking bread. Achat me'ah shleimot. You have to break one of the whole ones. So that's what Rashi says. Very clear. The Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, also wrote commentary on the 10th chapter of Masechet Pesachim, says almost the same verbatim, almost the same. In fact, it is. I think it's exactly verbatim. Maybe missing one word. So that seems pretty clear. This seems pretty clear. Rashi, Rashbam. Let's take a look and see what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, V'droshas razal, shebepesach mosif aleihem od matzah prusa. The teaching of our sages is that, not that we should minimize or diminish the Lechem Mishnah. We're not subtracting, we're adding. We're adding. What are we adding? We're adding a broken piece to the two whole pieces. We're adding a broken piece. And that's because of Lechem Oni. Adding. Now, very interestingly, the Rebbe does not mention Rashi. He does not mention Rashbam, but he does mention Rabbeinu Osher, and he does mention the Mordechai, which are two Rishonim who wrote halachically in a very similar time. Okay, so now the question is, Barbara, you're, whatever. So now the question is, and this is a question that I'm asking you, why doesn't he mention Rashi or Rashbam? Why does he mention the Mordechai? So the first thing I want you to know is what you just read, what I just read to you from the Gemara, and I shared with you the commentary of Rashi, and I shared with you Rashbam, sounds like an open shut case, right? It's not an open shut case at all. Because, as I have shared with you time and again, when the commentaries on the Talmud, which is not the Rabbanon Savaroi, not the rabbis of the Talmud, not the rabbis who completed kind of solidifying the Talmud, or even the Gaonim, who began to respond to people's questions on a practical level, when we started to have the earliest of the Rishonim, who started now to restate the Talmud in halachic prose, there are three prominent works that all of halacha, of Jewish law, is based upon. And they are, first, the work of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, the North African sage who known as the Rif, who was the Rambam's teacher's teacher. Then we have Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon Asfadi. The Rif rewrites the Gemara, but without the conversation in the Gemara, without the discussion, without the back and forth. He just writes it only in halachic prose, just halacha, 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 case halacha, case halacha. Rambam rewrites a whole new system. He creates a 14-set compendium of called Yad HaChazaka. It's a whole new system. And then we have the Rosh, Rabbeinu Osher, who writes commentary on each Masechet of Talmud. He is the last. Rabbeinu Osher's son, Rabbeinu Yaakov, Bal HaTurim, the Tur, he rewrites everything in the system of the Shulchan Aruch that we have today. Now, usually, when the Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim had to make a ruling, if you would look at Rambam, Rif and Rosh. And he would see, usually he rules like 2 out of 3. Usually, but as you're going to see, it's not so simple. So what does the Rif say about this Gemara? The Gemara doesn't tell us 1 matzah, 2 matzah, 3 matzah. It doesn't talk about that. The Rif's reading is as follows. Listen to what the Rif says. He says, Hilchach bePesach, because of what we said, Lechemoni on Pesach. Mevarchinan, we make a blessing. Al Chodo uPerusa, on 1.5. 1 and a piece. A matzah and a piece of matzah. Avo b'sha'or yomim tovim, on the all the other holidays. Batzinon al tartin rifta'a. This is Aramaic. You make a bracha on 2 loaves, which are shleimasa, 2 rolls which are complete, just like Shabbat. And the Rif goes on to say that this is because we have a famous Gemara in Brachas, Mesechet Brachas, on page 39. Rabbi Abba said a person is chayav levtzoah shtei kikarot on Shabbat. And why is that? Because the manna that was miraculously sustaining the Jewish people wouldn't fall on Shabbat. So how would he get food on Shabbat? You got to eat every day. The answer is double portion. So to commemorate the double portion, we take 2 loaves. And guess what he says? The same thing was true with regard to Yom Tov. The Jewish people kept the Yom Tov. So they didn't have a manna that fell. So they got Erev Yom Tov, they got a double portion. Same reason. So he says, that's the way it usually is. Hilchach, therefore, being on Limivtza be Yom Tov, therefore we must break bread on Yom Tov, al tartin rifta o shleimasa, on 2 whole loaves. Aha, kidim achayvim b'shabbat, just like you have to do it on Shabbat. However, ube Pesach, also lechem oni, on Pesach there's a special teaching, lechem oni, poor man's bread, vigora, it doesn't add, it subtracts. It subtracts, it makes one of the two, breaks it down to a half lapalga, the chada, half of a one. Hilkach batzinan achada upalga. Therefore the Rif says, you recite a bracha on 2, 1 whole and 1 broken. Also known in English as 1.5. So see, the Rif has a very different reading of the Gemara.
Did the Rif hold was only from the Zohar that you take 3 matzahs?
That's a very good. It's not Zohar. The 3 matzahs. The 3 matzahs is a Tshuvas HaGa'inim, and I'm going to elaborate on this. Thank you for asking that question. I'm going to elaborate on that. Yes, the Rif also took 3 matzahs, but not because of this reason. The Rif did not take 3 matzahs because you need to have 2 whole ones and a broken one. Rabbeinu Yitzchak believed that a whole one and a portion was good enough for Lecha Mishnah. So why did he have 3 matzot? You know what, since you're mentioning, I'm gonna speak about it. So the Rebbe actually, in the Haggadah, when he talks about the 3 matzahs, he doesn't mention the halachic consideration of having 2 whole matzah, because as you see, it's not so simple. In the Haggadah, the Rebbe says, why 3 matzahs? And the Rebbe cites one of the earliest halachic manuscripts we have, which goes back to the 11th century, or earlier, maybe even 9th century. Reb Shrira Gaon, I think it was the 9th century. Reb Shrira Gaon had a question from a group of Jews who were a little confused. They lived in a place called Kiron. I don't know what that is. But they lived in Kiron. And they didn't have a superstar rabbi. They had a regular rabbi. He didn't know the answer. So they wrote to this great Gaon and they said to him, why do we take 3 matzot? The rabbi said, I don't know. Maybe this rabbi followed the ruling or school of thought of the Rif, in which you only needed 1.5. So he said, if we only need 1.5, why do you have to have 3? We don't have 3 challahs. Challot, we don't have 3.5. Why do you have to take 3? And if you want to have a lot of matzah, you should have a table of matzah. You know, load it up at least. Okay. why 3? Make it like a Hanukkah menorah. 1 matzah for every member of the family. I don't know. So he says, lo pachot v'lo yoter. Dafka. Specifically, it has to be 3. Beheshiv lohem, Reb Shrira Gaon answered, there's a remez, there's an allusion in the Torah, legimol sa'in sha'amar Avraham l'sara la'asot mehem ugot. The first time matzah is mentioned, Avraham Avinu is welcoming guests after his bris milah, and he says, take 3 measures of flour to make ugot. And those ugot, our sages tell us, were matzah, because it was Pesach. V'gimiri otozman Pesach haya, Reb Shrira says that was Pesach. And then he says, v'yeshomrim, and there's another opinion, and this he brings down from the Maaser Rekech, that it's Zecher for Gimel Harei Olam, for the 3 mountains, so to speak, upon which the world is founded, and that's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So you see that the 3 matzot is not connected to the halachic question. It's not a halachic issue. Whether you believe in taking, in having two whole matzot or having a matzah and a half is not the issue. The three matzah are separate. It's interesting to note that the Vilna Gaon ruled, based on the Rif, that you take two matzahs. But it's very, very hard to understand why the Vilna Gaon ruled like that. How could the Vilna Gaon rule differently than Reb Shira Gaon? Reb Shira Gaon says the reason you take three matzahs is because the Torah alludes to the concept of three matzahs. By the way, there's another idea which is brought down by the Rosh and many, many Rishonim, in that we take three matzahs because in the time when they make a korban toda, it says also to use three measures of fine flour. Kohen Levi Yisrael is a Kabbalistic. That's the Kabbalistic idea, and that's a. But this is like on a halachic level. On a halachic level, many things we do are based on the earliest mentions in the Torah, or early mentions in the Torah. The earliest mention of the Torah of Pesach is Avraham eating matzah, and he's serving his guest matzah, and it says three. But the Rif says that's fine. Three matzahs. I'm not telling you how many matzahs to have. He says, I'm just telling you that Lechem Mishnah does not require two whole matzot. That's the opinion of the Rif. Clear? Okay. This is very clear, and the Ran explains it, but it's very clear. What does the Rambam say? What does the Rambam say? Because after all, we need to know, we have Rif, we have Rambam. So the spiritual grandson of the Rif, the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, in the laws of Chametz and Matzah, which are the laws that govern not the Korban Pesach, or even the things that are related to the carbon element, but the things that are related to Pesach as we observe them today. So the Rambam, in the 8th chapter, where he talks about the proceedings of the Seder, he says, you take two whole matzahs, cholek echad mehem, you break one, put the whole with a piece, and then make a bracha hamotzi. The Rambam is of the opinion, in the Rambam system, you break a matzah in order to make the bracha for hamotzi. In other words, he holds that the Lechem Mishnah has to be on a broken matzah. Not only it could be, it has to be on 1.5 matzahs. It says in the Gemara, Lechem Oni, the Torah says Lechem Oni. Oni is poor man's bread, it's broken bread. So Rambam and Rif say that it has to be 1.5. Hey, what's going on over here? Even if the Rosh is going to rule differently, don't we have 2 against 3 here already? Very unusual. I would tell you the Gra is following neither the Rif or the Rama, because they don't say you shouldn't have three matzahs. Nobody says you shouldn't have three matzahs. It's not only, that's not the only consideration. Reb Shira Gaon says, how can you dismiss Reb Shira Gaon? It's a big shpela. I mean, the Gra's shita is very hard to understand. It's because he's focusing only on the halacha, but you can't dismiss what something the Gaonim wrote. And you can see that Jewish people took three matzahs. And if it was so clear to them that you needed to have Lechem Mishnah, why would they ask the question? It would be self-understood. So we must say that people of Kiron did not follow the ruling of the Rosh. They didn't take three. They didn't make Lechem Mishnah on two whole matzahs. They made Lechem Mishnah on a matzah and a half. So that was their question. So why do we have three? And Reb Shira Gaon said, I'll tell you why we have three. Nothing to do with Lechem Mishnah. Okay. So what I found very interesting is that you saw Rashi and Rashbam clearly say you have to have like that. Very interesting is that the Rebbe chooses, in his source in Haggadah, the Rebbe says Rosh and Mordechai. Rosh and Mordechai. Now in the original print of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, it brings down like this, which the Rebbe sends us off to Shulchan Aruch Admor HaZaken, Tofayin Hesiv Gimel. It says like this, and I'll read it to you slowly. Afalpi, even though b'chol yom tov, every yom tov, chayev adam livtzoa lechem mishnah, you have to make a bracha on two loaves, as we explained. B'chol makom, he says, nonetheless, b'leil Pesach, on the night of Pesach, yesh omrim she'ein tzarech. There's an opinion that says we don't need this. Kiim echad u'mechtzo, 1.5, because of the exposition of our sages on the word lechem ani, which is missing a vav, and a poor person has only a piece. And lo darshu ela ligroa, that drasha is not to add a matzah, but to diminish, to subtract half a matzah. The sources here are Rif and Rambam. We saw that, I showed you inside, Rif and Rambam. And then, the Alter Rebbe says, v'yesha imrim, And there is an opinion, shelo darshu ela lahosif, that this teaching of our sages is to add alecha mishnah. Shemovad beiz matzot shleimot, besides two whole matzot, which you always need, kamo b'sha'or yom tov, tzarech liot od prusa mishum lechemoni. And the Alter Rebbe says, v'chein haminug poshut. This is the widely accepted practice. The source in the original Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch is the Rosh. I'm going to get to the Rosh. But what bothered me is that in the new version, the reprinted version of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, where certain individuals took liberties of adding sources, he adds Rashi and Rashbam. First of all, he adds the Tosfos. The Tosfos there for sure doesn't belong here. The Tosfos is, that's a misunderstanding of Tosfos. But Rashi and Rashbam clearly say this. And then he adds Rosh. And what bothers me about this version of the Alter Rebbe, about the way he printed the Shulchan Aruch, is the Rebbe does not say Rashi and Rashbam. The Rebbe says Rosh, and the Rebbe adds the Mordechai. So this was very curious to me. So first of all, I think this is a mistake. I think this is a mistake on these modern-day editors, because the Rebbe clearly believed that the source here is Rosh and Mordechai. The question is why. Okay, so let's take a look at what the Rosh actually says, and we'll look at what Mordechai says, and I think you'll have an appreciation as to how we came to this conclusion in Halacha, even though two against one are saying we need one and a half. Let's go to the Rosh. The Rosh is found in the 10th chapter of Masechet Pesachim, and it's in Simen Lamed, in the 30th chapter. And he says like this. He says, because we have this teaching of Lechem Oni, the broken piece, therefore, by Pesach, we make a bracha on Achat Uprusa, a matzah and a piece. Just like every other Yom Tov we make on two whole pieces, true, he says, here we have a special teaching of Lechem Oni, V'asa lechem oni v'gora. Lechem oni comes and subtracts. The teaching of the Gemara is not adding a matzah to the mix, it's subtracting a half a matzah from the mix. And basically he cites the teaching of the Rif, even more elaborately than the words of the Rif. I think there's a few added words over here. He brings an extra proof. And then the Rosh says, v'lo nira. This doesn't look right to me. V'lo nira. I see it. I hear it. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I hear what you're saying, I don't see it. Why, he says, the mai shna Pesach l'inyan lecha mishnah, why should Pesach be different when it comes to observing and commemorating the miracle of a double portion? Well, Pesach is supposed to be a broken piece. That has nothing to do with Yom Tov of Pesach. There's a Yom Tov element of Pesach. There's a din, a rule in Yom Tov. The Yom Tov has to be on. You have to honor in every Yom Tov. We honor the fact that Hashem made a miracle. We commemorate the miracle of the manna with the double portion. And then there's a separate thing. And that is that Yom Tov of Pesach has a separate mitzvah. There's two dinim. There's two rules. You know, there's a section of Shulchan Aruch called Hilchas Yom Tov, the laws of Yom Tov. They are not inherently different, the Yom Tov law of Pesach, from Shavuot or from Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah. They're all the same laws of Yom Tov. Can you carry in a public domain in a Yom Tov? The answer is yes. Can you carry in a public domain in Shabbat? No. Can you cook on Yom Tov for the purpose of celebrating the Yom Tov? The answer is yes, it's called Ochel Nefesh. Is there a difference in Rosh Hashanah or Pesach or Shavuot or Sukkot? No. No. Why? Because they're laws of Yom Tov. Do you have to have Lechem Mishnah, a double portion of bread on Yom Tov? Do you have to have a double portion? The answer is yes. Why? Because our ancestors, who were sustained miraculously in the desert for 40 years, where they would have required 40,000 tractor trailers of food every single day, and they lived for 40 years. The manna fell every day, except for Shabbat and Yom Tov. In a double portion fell. So the Rosh says, I don't understand. What does Lechem Oni have to do with the business of Lechem Mishnah? Lechem Oni is a detail in matzah. That's the mitzvah that on Pesach. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah. But Pesach is Yom Tov. Besides the mitzvah to eat matzah, Yom Tov is Yom Tov. Shavuot Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov, Sukkot Yom Tov is Yom Tov. He says, I don't understand. And then the Rosh brings a powerful proof to his approach. He says, the only business of Lechem Oni is that the achilat matzah, the eating of matzah, should be from a broken piece of matzah. And the Rosh says, imagine this. What happens if a person has only half a matzah? Half a matzah, which we call shmura. Half a matzah, like real matzah. Let me explain. You know, today you go in the store, you can buy egg matzah. And the egg matzah says, look in Shulchan Aruch and this in this chapter. And most people don't even know what a Shulchan Aruch is. So they think this must be super kosher. And they buy two boxes. But actually, unfortunately, it's not correct. So egg matzah is matzah that's made with fruit juice. It's called egg matzah. They have an egg taste to it. Why? What's the story with egg matzah? So very, very briefly, this is like a little bit of a sidebar, but it goes like this. The five grains contain within them a chemical which is called Amy B. Lacey, or Amy C. Lacey. Amy B. or Amy C. And when Amy B. or Amy C. Lacey come in contact with anything that is alkaline-based, it triggers a chemical reaction. That chemical reaction is called fermentation in English. And fermentation in Hebrew is chimutz. Chimutz is the verb of the noun chametz. Okay. What happens if Amy B. Lacey or Amy C. Lacey is introduced to a different kind of guy? Not alkaline, but rather acid. If it's an acid-based liquid, it does not trigger a chemical reaction of fermentation or growth, which represents little air pockets developing and it starts to puff up and become very, that's not what happens. Instead, it's called in Hebrew sirchon, it's a certain decay sets in. It's not the growth of something new, it's a decay. It decays it. And what happens is it won't rise and won't turn into chametz because it's not fermentation. So the reason that when people make bread today and they add all kinds of other things, and the reason they use yeast or sourdough is to make sure that there's enough oomph of sourdough going on besides all the other tastes, so it shouldn't create any, the other taste that's being mixed in shouldn't retard the process of fermentation. The fermentation, the chimutz, should go well because people love it. That's bread is delicious. So now it gets very interesting. L'chaida, ostensibly, if you mix flour and pure orange juice, for example, you should be able to bake it and eat it on Pesach. You could have orange juice cookies, right? So Rabbeinu Tam, one of Rashi's grandsons, one of the greatest Jewish leaders and Torah scholars of his time, he observed something very interesting. That if even the tiniest bit of water is present when you mix the fruit juice, which is like citric acid, for example, but acid, has acid, apple cider acid, there's other things that have acid in them. Apple has acid, juice has acid, they have acid. Most fruit has acid in it. If you mix the acid with a tiny bit of water, not only will it not stop the process of fermentation, but in fact it will enrage the process of fermentation and it could turn into chimutz in much less than 18 minutes. So Rabbeinu Tam made a decree. He said, because we're afraid that maybe a little bit of water gets mixed in, therefore, we were not allowed to eat egg matzah. So you asked me the question, why do they sell it in the store? And why is there a kosher symbol on it? And the thing is like this. Rabbeinu Tam made a big stringency. It's a stringency. I mean, like, why do you have to say there's water in there? I dried everything off. I squeezed the orange. There's only orange juice. It's a chumrah. So Rabbeinu Tam, they said, look, Rabbeinu Tam's chumrah is a chumrah, but somebody who's ill, there are people never who don't have teeth. Elderly people. And they're going to literally could starve. So how are they supposed to eat? So they made soft matzah for them to be able to eat. That's the story with the egg matzah. So unless you identify as ill, infirm, or as a tiny baby, it's not for you. If you identify as such, no problem.
But it's not allowed to eat during the first.
So now comes the question like this. This is a gzeira of Rabbeinu Tam. This is much later than the Rosh. So the question that was time in the time of the Rosh is, what happens if a person has only a piece of matzah, which is matzah shmura, meaning flour and water, only a piece. But they do have egg matzah, but they only have one little piece. When should they eat the piece of matzah? No, that night, the night of Pesach. So the Rosh said, the Psak Halacha is like this. You make hamotzi for your Yom Tov meal, you make hamotzi over two egg matzahs. Still do Lecha Mishnah. And then at the end of the Seder, what we call Afikoman, That's when you eat the shmura matzah. Why? Because the last taste has to be shmura matzah. By the way, this is the halacha. This is the halacha. If somebody only has a little bit of matzah, you eat it at the end of the Seder, not at the beginning. And of course, Baruch Hashem, we are very fortunate and we have lots of matzah, Baruch Hashem. We eat matzah in the beginning of the Seder and we eat afikoman at the end of the Seder. This question could also be asked if somebody is unable to eat more than an ounce of matzah. This is a real question. This is, unfortunately, I have to deal with people who are not well. When should they eat the ounce of matzah? And the answer is at the end of the Seder. And there's some Rishonim like Rashi who hold that the real mitzvah of matzah anyway is the end of the Seder. That's the real mitzvah of matzah. All the magical stuff, although that generally is not the opinion we subscribe to. So the Rosh says, you see, the mitzvah of Lech and Mishnah has nothing to do with the mitzvah of matzah. Because here it's Pesach, and the person has only a half a matzah. When is he eating the half a matzah? At the end of the Seder. Why? Because that's all he's got for matzah. But he still has to make a bracha of Lech and Mishnah. Pesach is not different than Sukkot. Pesach is not different than Shavuot or Rosh Hashanah. You have to eat two matzahs. So the Rosh says, what are you talking about? It's clear. It's clear there's a mitzvah of Lech and Mishnah and a mitzvah of matzah. So he says, Hu adim nami, im yeshle lechem oini, le'echle betchila, lama le'yavarech ha'moitzi al ha'shleima. Why shouldn't he make a proper bracha of Lech and Mishnah? And that's why, and then he says, Hilkach nagu la'aseis shalosh matzahs. That's why the custom is the three matzahs. The Rosh is very strange that he says this. Hilkach, therefore nagu. Because from the tshuva of Rav Shira Gaon, that's not the reason. Maybe that's what the Vilna Gaon based this thing on. He says, Hilkach Nagu. Hilkach Nagu. Now, the Rebbe cites the Rosh. And the Rebbe does not cite Rashi. And he does not cite Rashbam. But he does cite the Mordechai. I was very curious. So I went to the Mordechai. This is the Mordechai at the conclusion in what's called Seder Shel Pesach. And the Mordechai says this. The Mordechai brings down the business of the Lechem Oni. And then he says, so Lechem Oni means that when you're going to have two matzahs, you should be one achat shleima, and you have a piece of one. That's good enough, he says. Even though by the other Yomim Tovim, says the Mordechai, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. So he says, this today is different. This is Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni is a piece. So if it's a piece, he says, then all you need to have is a whole matzah and a piece. And he says, in other words, that what's going on here, the blessing of Hamotzi is actually recited over Lechem Mishnah, and the Lechem Mishnah comes in that way, Asya Lechem Oni, we would think you have to have two, Vigara, and it subtracts. This is what the Rif says, the language of the Rif. And then the Mordechai comes along and he says, Velo Nire. I'm sorry, I don't see it. Lama yigara mishar yom tovim. Why should it be inherently different from the other yom tov? If you need lechem mishnah, you need lechem mishnah. What difference does it make? Dafke le'inyin bracha da'alachilas matzah. For the bracha of achilas matzah, you need a piece. Hamotzi? Hamotzi is commemorating the manna. There's no difference. So he says, nire devadai osin shalosh matzahs. For sure you got to have three matzahs, because how else will you have two whole ones? So this is interesting. Vada, he says. Vahashleimos in a boyim elemishum hekera. The Bina Lechem Mishnah. He says the three matzahs come, so we should see that there's going to be three matzahs that you have to have Lechem Mishnah. And he says, this also I don't agree with, that you have to have three matzahs so it should look like Lechem Mishnah. V'loy nira. I'm sorry, he says. It's not different. So there's a school of thought that says, have two on the table so it looks like Lechem Mishnah. He says, what are you fooling? It's not a game. This is the real deal. You have to have two whole matzos. Why should this Yom Tov be any different than any other Yom Tov? And therefore, he says, that's why I believe that you have to have the broken piece, the chatzi, maniach ben shtei ha-shleimot, u'mevorech ha-motzi al ha-shleima. So this is my theory. This is my theory. And by the way, this is what's ruled in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says very clearly in Siman Tov Ayin Hey, that you have yikach hamatzot keseder sheinicham. You take the matzot, the way they were originally placed. Haprusa ben shtei hashleimot. Shulchan Aruch is very clear about it. And by the way, the Torah is also very clear about it. The Torah says very, very clearly that you take the matzot, yikach hakaira, with the matzah inside it, keseder sheinicham. You take the keseder plate, the way it is. The shleimot lamaila, the whole one on top, prusa tachteha, the broken one underneath it. V'yavarach al ha'shleima. You make hamotzi on the whole one, and then you make a bracha al achilas matzah on the prusa. See, clearly he says, but the Beis Yosef does cite the tshuva of the Rashba that you only need to have a matzah and a half. So we have Rishonim that say matzah and a half. So the thing is like this. This is just less like what's, and this is why I think that this when they reprinted the Shulchan Aruch, whoever added these sources is push it wrong. The Rebbe says that the two sources that are most important that inform the halacha is the Rosh and the Mordechai. Why? Why? Because in halacha we have a principle that goes like this. We always rule like the last sage. The final word is always the why. Because we say he saw what the ones others wrote, he considered, he weighed, and came to a different conclusion. So when we have an opinion, a school of thought, for example, the Rashba says like this, or Rashi said like that. So that was Rashi's way of learning the Gemara. Maybe if Rashi had seen Rabbeinu Yitzchak's writings, maybe he would have thought differently. Maybe Rashbam didn't see the Rif, he doesn't cite him. So when you have differing schools of thought, I mean, this is how it is in Judaism. Differing schools of thought, and there's different ways to look at what did the sages mean? What is the truth? Rashi had his approach. Rif has his approach. Rambam has his approach. But here we come to the Rosh. The Rosh cites the whole argument. And he says, V'lo nira. Ah, that's very telling. The Rosh says, I know exactly what the Rabbi Yitzchak Afasi says. And he tells you why he doesn't come to that conclusion. He gives you a reason. He says, I saw, I weighed, I considered, and I ruled differently. The Mordechai does the same thing. The only two of the Rishonim. There's actually, if you start to research, there are many Rishonim that say, like, one, these are two dominant schools of thought, two different schools of thought in learning Pshat and Gemara. But the only two Rishonim, I mean the medieval sages, who cite the original opinion in detail, and then make clear arguments against it, having said it and said, I saw it and I don't see it, is only the Rosh and the Mordechai. And I believe that this is why the Rebbe, in his commentary, which every word we know was so weighed so carefully, the Rebbe knew all these things, the Rebbe says, Rosh Mordechai, Shulchan Aruch Admor HaZaken, and that's what the Alter Rebbe actually does what the Rosh and the Mordechai do. Unlike the Shulchan Aruch, which does not cite the other opinion, the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch does cite the other opinion. He says, even though in every Yom Tov, there needs to have Lecha Mishnah. And even though we say over here that there's an opinion that says Achas U'Mechtza, and that the Drasha of the Gemara was Ligroa to subtract, but yeah, he says, nonetheless, Yesh Omrim, there's another opinion, this is the Rosh, and he says that is the Minhag, V'chein HaMinhag Poshut, that's universal. That is the universal custom. So the Alter Rebbe, very interestingly, makes a point of citing the first school of thought. He doesn't ignore the first school of thought. The Shulchan Aruch and the Torah don't mention the first school of thought. The Alter Rebbe does mention the first school of thought. And then he brings a second school of thought. And then he comes with a final ruling and he says that this is the Minhag. This follows in the image of the Rosh and the Mordechai who bring the original school of thought and the second school of thought. And that is why the Rebbe adds word, he says, Mosif. Mosif. The question is how you learn Lechem Oni. It is a subtracting teaching or an addition teaching. Are you adding a matzah or subtracting half a matzah? And the Rebbe puts in italics, the key word is Mosif. Mosif. So indeed, my friends, when we will sit at our Seder, Meretz Hashem, we will have three matzahs. And we're going to make a bracha of Hamotzi, holding all three matzahs. And then it gets very interesting. This is what we're going to learn in Breaking Bread 2. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And here's where it gets very tricky. As we make the bracha, I'll share with you just a sneak peek of what we're going to be talking about. Our minhag is we hold all three matzahs, the two, and then we drop the bottom matzah because we're only holding the bottom matzah for hamotzi, and then we make a bracha of al achilat matzah on the middle and the top. And that itself is a question, which is then the matzah that you made the bracha on, and because of this you have to eat more than one and so on and so forth. But this, Bezrat Hashem, will continue to be elaborated. So I think now this gives you a little bit of an appreciation of the care, the consideration, the precision, the profundity that goes into every single practical detail of what we do at the Seder. And hopefully, learning Torah, besides connecting us to Hashem, because that's what learning Torah always does, helps us to appreciate the mitzvahs. It helps us to be more meticulous and careful about the mitzvahs. And when we, Hashem's children, are careful and meticulous and do our best to fulfill the mitzvahs in the way that Hashem ordains, that is how we nurture that love with Hashem. Pesach is a time of love with Hashem, and that's exactly how we nurture and develop that love. And that's what I started with today, right? What's Yiddishkeit about? Yiddishkeit's about listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about listening to the will of Hashem and doing exactly what Hashem told us to the best of our ability. May Hashem help us that we should be zoicha, we should merit to be able to fulfill all of Hashem's mitzvahs the way they're meant to be. And that's in Eretz Yisrael HaShleima with the coming of Mashiach and the third Beis HaMikdash. May it be this year, Meretz Hashem, as we say, b'mehedo, b'yameinu, amen. Thank you for joining. Please like, please subscribe, please share, and please continue to participate.